one thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, the Priestly Ministry of a Believer.
Hallelujah.
See, you're the king's kid. Be fresh. See, you want to talk to somebody about Jesus and you don't want that person. Can we have a break? You don't want that. You want that fellow listening with full attention. So you have to take care of the details. Come on, somebody. Now, y'all are so quiet. So quiet now. I remember some years ago, and we were trying to minister to a certain gentleman, you know, years ago. He was actually a minister at the time. I hope he's still in the ministry. But, you know, we laid hands on him to pray for him. I've forgotten whatever reason we were praying for him. But as we had our hands on him, I had to turn my nostrils upward. I couldn't take it anymore. The head on which we laid our hands, that head was smelling terribly. Maybe it hadn't seen water a long time. In Jesus, I had to hurry up the prayer. Thank you, Father. Amen. And when he was gone, Lord Jesus, I just had a deliverance after he left me. What am I saying to you? It's important. Because you're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. Some of you don't know why you lost a job. You may have lost a job when you came in for the interview. Soon as you entered the place, the smell came with you. And that guy behind the desk made up his mind, you are not coming in. No matter how good you are, no! Did you ever ask someone to come do something for you and you had to step out? You just, Lord Jesus. You don't want that in your life. Tell somebody, be clean. I know Jesus said, ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. So you take this word now and go and use it at home. It'll keep you fully clean. So you are clean now, through this message I just preached to you. You finalize it at home with clean water. Thank you very much. Praise God forevermore. He hath made us kings. He hath made us kings and priests. He hath made us kings and priests. So I said, tonight we'll go into that second part of that verse. And priests. We are priests. And we defined that yesterday. Who is a priest? Again, book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Let's get the word definition. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Do you sense victory in the air? Yeah. I feel it in the spirit. It's here. Wow. Whoosh. I'm reading from verse 1. Now, glory to God. This message is changing our lives. It's working in us. We will be better at the end than how we were when we came. Glory to God. You're living here a better man, a better woman. You're living here better than when you came. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Boy, am I glad. Thank you, Lord. Going back better. Going back improved. Wow. Now, verse 1, chapter 8, book of Hebrews. Of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to... Now, watch it. Every high priest is ordained for a special function, he says. Every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Who is a high priest? In the Gospels, another term was used. Chief priest. The high priest is the chief priest, meaning he is the number one priest. In the days of the kings, they had a deputy. They called him the second priest, meaning there was a first priest. The first priest was the chief priest, which is the high priest. The deputy was the second priest. Do you understand? And then there were many priests. So he says, the high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. So the priests were a class of people who were given a responsibility to offer gifts and sacrifices. And as you study in the Word of God, you discover certain other things that they were asked to do. Now I said there was a ministry to God and a ministry to man. The priest's ministry to God was to offer sacrifices, gifts and sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. They had a ministry to the people. The ministry to the people was to teach them the Word of God, to lead the people in the worship of God, to teach, to lead in worship, to lead in spiritual things, to lead the people in prayer. They were the custodians of divine revelations. They taught them. The prophets didn't teach. The prophets brought the revelation and preached it. Many of them were seers and leaders like generals of the army. But the priest carried the presence of God. He taught the details of the revelation. Are you still there? So, these several functions of the priest, the Bible shows us. But I want to major this time on a certain area of the ministry of the priests. Because the Bible says, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And I began by asking you from yesterday, what does God think about us? What does he want us to do? What's on his mind? Why do we pray the way we do? A lot of us are concerned about our needs. Now all the time we're trying to find out how to get God to do something for us. A lot of times we're trying to find out what more we should do so that we can get something that we want. Does God like it? He doesn't. Why? Because he already made us kings. And that presupposes that we ought to understand that we are heirs. That the world belongs to us. We don't have any needs. But you don't understand it because you're a child. You don't have any needs. There's nothing that you should be asking for in this world. Paul said, the world is yours. Has that come home to you? Have you come to understand that? You're not in need of anything. The world belongs to you. Maybe you haven't thought about it. But that's what the Word of God says. The world is yours. It was willed to Abraham. And the Bible says if ye are heirs, if ye are Abraham's seed, ye are heirs according to the promise. If ye are Abraham's seed, then we are heirs. And you know what? We are Abraham's seed. And we are heirs of that which was promised to Abraham. And guess what? The real number one seed of Abraham has come. He has taken the possession. That which was promised to Abraham has become his. And his name is Jesus. And we are joint heirs with him. And so the Bible says, if ye belong to Christ, ye are Abraham's seed. And therefore heirs. Hallelujah. So we have come into our inheritance. That which was promised to Abraham and his seed has become ours. And you only begin to enjoy it as a king when you come to office. When you move from being the technon of God to the heirs of God. You are born the technon of God. That's the son of God. Hallelujah. But you are raised to become his adopted son. Then you can rule and reign with him. They which receive. I want you to notice. He didn't say they which receive grace. But they which receive the overflowing of grace. What do you mean by overflowing? First, the vessel is full. And it's still pouring. It gets full to the brim. It's still pouring. Then it starts overflowing. And that overflow out of his belly shall flow gushers of living water. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. They which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back. The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org for an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Dudu from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the Book of Life and who is in the Book of Life? Dear Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
The Love World Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Love Old Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Love Old Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did. Because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment.
This is the continuation of the message, the priestly ministry of a believer.
Hallelujah.
I cannot accept anything less than reigning in union with Christ. I belong in that seat. He said he raised us up together. And made us sit together. And I'm sitting together with him. If you're sitting, you are reigning. Can you shout amen, somebody? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I'm a king.
I'm a king.
All right, now, you're a priest. You're a priest. We are a kingdom of priests. In the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, when you read from the 6th verse, he tells us that he had wanted to have the children of Israel as a kingdom of priests. But they didn't quite make it. They didn't quite make it. When he spoke to them from heaven, they said, Moses, tell God to shut up. We can't endure his words. You talk to us. We don't want God talking to us directly. Please talk to us. Tell God to stop. And then, of course, you know the story. They disobeyed him time and time and time again until he gave up on them. But thanks be unto God. That responsibility of priesthood is given to Aaron and his family. And until Jesus showed up. When Jesus showed up, oh, I love it. I told you one time how the Aaronic priesthood was transferred to the house of Judah. Because concerning Judah, nothing was said about priesthood. The kingship was given to Judah. And Jesus came from Judah. So how was he going to get the priesthood? Well, you know the story. On that day, the anointing of God came on him. At the baptism. The river Jordan, when John the Baptist laid hands on him. You remember that? John saw Jesus. He had been given a sign. The one on whom you see the Holy Spirit descend in the form of a dove is the Messiah. And John was waiting for the Messiah. And he kept speaking to the people. There's one among you. The latchet of his shoes I'm not worthy to untie. When he comes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He said this again and again until Jesus stood right before him. And he saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus in the form of a dove. He said, this is he. Then he said, Lord, you are here. I've been waiting for you. Baptize me. It's my turn to be baptized. Jesus said, no, John. No. Go ahead and baptize me. Why? He said, suffer it to be so for now, to fulfill all righteousness. He had to fulfill all righteousness. He was not going to steal the priesthood. He was to be the Lamb of God slain. How was he going to fulfill all this without John? John was from the tribe of Levi. He was a priest and also a prophet. And Jesus stood before him. When he laid his hands on Jesus, Jesus became the goat, the scapegoat, to bear the sin into the wilderness. And that was what the priest was supposed to do, lay his hand on that goat and heap all the curses of the people on the goat and send it away by the hand of a fit man. The Bible says by the hand of a fit man, a qualified person, to take him into the wilderness. When he laid his hands on Jesus, first, the Aaronic priesthood was transferred from the house of Levi to the house of Judah. So he got it by the laying on of hands. Secondly, Jesus became the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the people. And who was the fit person to take him? Remember, right after the baptism, the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. The Lamb of God was taken straight to the wilderness with the sins of the people. The next day, the Bible says, John saw Jesus. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John was a prophet. He knew what transpired at the baptism. He knew it by revelation. He knew that was God's Lamb to bear the sins of many. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, "And to them that look for him shall he appear again the second time without sin unto salvation." Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to his name forever. But you know what? We are God's people. He says he hath made us kings and priests. The priesthood came to Judah. Judah had the kingship. No wonder. He was said to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek was the king priest. And now what does the Bible say? Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are king priests. Now, I want to begin to show you from this area that I said I want to emphasize the responsibility of the priest. That if you were to leave out that responsibility, the other areas will be corrupted. And there's a big problem. Are you ready? 1 Samuel. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Glory to his name. I said his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Samuel chapter 12. The people had offended Samuel. They asked for a king. But Jehovah had been their king. And now they said, "We want to be like other nations. Give us a king." And Samuel spoke to the people. He told them why they did not need another king. He said, "Jehovah is your king." They said, "Nevertheless, give us one that we can see." And Samuel was offended. He prayed to God. He said, "Oh God, hear the words of these stiff-necked people." God said, "Samuel, why are you angry? They have not rejected you. They rejected me. So be cool. We'll handle this thing." All right. Now, even though he was offended, even though he was angry, Samuel did something. And I want to show it to you. From verse 22, Samuel speaks. Let's read it from verse 20. I think from verse 19 will be nice, so you can get it in the right context. "And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." Did you hear what they said? Isn't it interesting? They said, "Pray for us. Pray to God for us, so that we don't die, because we have added this evil to all our sins in asking for a king." Now, they didn't say, "Don't give us anymore." See, it was not true repentance. They said, "Pray for us so we don't die. Now we are asking for a king." It's just like people today. Someone's going to church and says, "Would you come to church with me?" "No, I'm not coming. I'm a bad sinner." When you get to church, pray for me. He's not serious. Hallelujah. All right. "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, I want you all to read verse 23. One, two, go. Amen. Did you see that? He said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. They were going the wrong way. He said, I'll teach you the good and the right way. But God forbid, he says, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He understood his priestly responsibility. He had to pray for the people. He had to intercede for the people. It was his responsibility to pray for them.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you. This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Suriname, Hoekhoopstraat and Prinsestraat, numero 73/74. Worship with us on Sundays, 10 a.m., Wednesdays, 7 p.m., for prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us. Please call +5978-570-590 or +5978-570-655 or send a mail to radio transmissions@level360.com.